What's the 411? You're tuned into 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens, their families, teachers, and other interested folks who reach out. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. Tap into the pulse of today's youth this hour to explore the SAIL school program. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and joining me here at the roundtable, I welcome always my favorite students from SAIL. Everyone here is from SAIL. Jacob Huck. Jacob is in the 12th grade, and he is into filmmaking. Hello.
Hey, my movie comes out August 1st.
Great. Matias Herrera. Matias, welcome to 411 Team. I'm always glad to have him and his perspectives. He's in the 12th, and I guess by the time this airs, you all really will have graduated, okay? Matias, welcome to 411 Team.
Thanks, man.
Reed Worrell. Reed is in the 10th, and he's into reading and writing.
Hey, keep reading.
Shanoa Dupree is a junior, and she is into music and biology and artwork and lots of good things.
I'm what you call a Renaissance woman.
Well, I am very glad to have all of you. 411 Teen salutes SAIL High School, located at 2006 Jackson Bluff Road. SAIL, a school for arts and innovative learning founded in 1975, is one of Leon County's alternative magnet high schools. The school is known for high graduation rates and low dropout rates. Former Governor Jeb Bush recognized SAIL for achieving the highest science FCAT score in Leon County. SAIL was also the first winner of the College Board Award for Excellence and Innovation in the Arts in the Southern Region. SAIL received an A rating for the 2010-2011 school year, and SAIL continues to soar. 411 Team applauds the SAIL school community for a job well done. And I just appreciate all of you for coming. How did you become involved and interested in SAIL in the first place? And I'll just go around the table.
Okay. My family, I moved up here from Key West about 2011 or when I was 11. I can't really remember. It's been a while. But my family that lives up here, my aunt and my uncle, they had both of their children go to SAIL, and they've just been really involved in the SAIL community. They know all, they knew all of the old teachers that originally founded it. Mm-hmm. So when I heard about SAIL, I was like, I've heard that before. And then my family was just all for it.
Okay.
I came to SAIL partly because I was looking for a sort of alternative school experience. And SAIL is definitely a different school experience from any school I've ever gone to. And it's just been great, somewhere you can make friends and be whatever you want and you won't be judged. You'll just be you.
It seems like a real cool school. If I were in high school, I probably would go to SAIL. Okay. Shanoa.
I went to a lot of alternative schools throughout my kind of school career, and I went to public school for 1 year and didn't like it, a regular public school. And I had found SAIL through a bunch of my friends, and I automatically fell in love with it because of the arts programs and science programs and just anything really you could think of. We basically have it.
Jacob.
All right. Well, the way I found out about SAIL, I already knew about it, but I went to 11 different schools prior to coming to SAIL, and SAIL actually is not my first high school. I actually went to Godby before SAIL, and I just really felt like it was time for something new, and it was probably the best decision I've ever made.
That's great. Well, and all of you have said one thing. You wanted a different experience, okay? And that's the one common theme through everything that you said. When you say that different experience, what are you talking about? What are you talking about that you want that experience that's a little bit different?
Well, almost SAIL has this indescribable it quality thing that you don't know what it is that you just love it. But one thing is that the acceptance. I don't know if you'll find acceptance like you do at Sale anywhere else. Just being whoever you want to be, being you is accepted. I don't know. It's just amazing to be among people who think like you, are like you, and
yeah. Okay, that sounds good.
I didn't really want to fall into conformity because a lot of schools kind of make you think a certain way or learn a certain way, whether you learn that way or not. And Sale kind of takes the individual and brings you out into the world and kind of says, who are you, instead of this is what we want you to be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Jacob.
What exactly is the question?
The question is, what is that different experience? Because you talked about how you had been to other high schools before you even got to Sale.
The different experiences, everything. There's no... out of all the schools I've been to, there's nothing like it. I mean, you don't have to have a first period. You call your teachers by their first names. There's we have block scheduling, and I mean,
talk about what you all are talking to folks that may not know what this means. Okay. You know, so when you say block scheduling, explain that for our listening audience.
Block scheduling is we have odd days and even days. Our odd days are the odd days of the week, such as the first, the third, and the fifth, and the even days are like the second, the fourth, and the sixth. And on our odd days, we'll go to our first. You don't have to have a first period, but let's say you go to your first, your third, your fifth, and your seventh period. And on your other days, you go to those your other classes. So you'll have seven total classes, but you take them all in different days. So you have more time to do your work. You have more time in class to learn, and it's great.
We need to be on television so everybody can see you, because obviously, you know, you have a real love for your school. And, I mean, that says something, the fact that you love school. You know, and that it's just so much an integral part of your life. They're doing something right. Comparing it to the traditional school, the traditional high school, compare it. Tell us how it.
I feel like to the traditional high school, I could be completely wrong because I never went to another high school. All 4 years I was at.
We'll get to Jacob because he's been to one.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But all 4 years I've been at Sale, and I can talk about school in general. I've gone to public school all of my life, and I've never had the best experience with them. When I was younger, I was in the same school for about 4 years, and like every day of those 4 years, I was bullied, and nothing was done about it until like I told somebody, and then you know my mom brought it to their attention, and they were like, "Well, I mean, we kind of already knew about it, but we never thought it was really a serious issue." So immediately, she took me out of that school. And then when we moved to Tallahassee was when I was going into sixth grade. So I was going to Bellevue, and I was going to the magnet program then. That was fun, but in a way it was still attached to like an actual like regular school. And although the curriculum was more engaging because I was in a smaller program, it was never that like. It didn't have the same kind of spark that I get at Sale.
Okay.
Well, I keep focusing on this, but the people. I still remember coming to my first day at Sale and being lost. And I remember I didn't know where one of my classes was. And somebody, I still don't even remember who it was, but somebody stopped and was kind enough to show me the way and ask me my name. And that happened a lot. First day at Sale, or first couple of days, is just random people who I still don't even know. They probably graduated because they were seniors, but the seniors were so nice. They stopped, asked my name if I was lost, and being really friendly. And I have never gotten that. I've never been to other high schools, but even at like my other public schools that I've gone to, I've never gotten the
that
amount
kind of reception.
That kind of warm reception.
Genoa.
I have gone to private school pretty much all my life, but I went to one public school, and it was not a fun experience. First day I got there, hated it. I wanted to go home.
Well, what was it about that you disliked?
A lot of the teachers were kind of, I don't know, they seemed like they didn't really care, that they were just trying to get done with the curriculum and that was it. Where at SAIL, they want to teach you so much more than just the curriculum. They want to go beyond that and kind of be say if the student is interested in, like, I'm interested in marine biology. Mm-hmm. So if the biology teacher sees that I have an interest in that, they'll be like, oh, well, let's focus on this for a while because this student is really interested in it.
Okay. Now, Jacob, who really can speak because he and was eager, save the best for last.
Coming from Godby High School, I wouldn't necessarily say that public high school is a bad thing. But what I have to say is the difference between SAIL and a normal public high school is SAIL is more of a family than it is a school, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, at public school, you're going to have friends. You're going to have it's not horrible. To me, public high school is not horrible. But at SAIL, you really get to experience, like, for instance, I know there's we have, I think, about 400 students. I could be wrong on that exact number. Mm-hmm. But I know every single senior at SAIL High School. And if I went to, let's say, Childs or Leon, I wouldn't be able to. And you can really connect with each other a lot better. And your teachers really care about you. Not saying that they don't at a regular school, but at SAIL, I mean, like Shanoa said, like, they'll see the interest that you're taking, like, marine biology or, like, anything, and they'll really want to expand on that with you. They want you to be the best you can be.
What's the physical setting like? I mean, is it set up differently than other schools?
Not necessarily other than the fact that most of the schools outside, we don't have hallways. Or, I mean, we do have hallways, but, you know, it's the grass and kind of like individual buildings, and buildings are set up into, like, the specific areas. Like, math is in the front, reading is – the computer labs are in the second, the reading is third, and then the arts and programs are in the back.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Other than size, we're pretty normal on that aspect.
All right. Well, you're tuned into 411 Teen, a conversational forum for teens and other interested folks. This hour, I am talking with students from the SAIL school community. We are going to take a brief break, but we'll return momentarily. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and joining me again here at the round table, I welcome Chinoa Dupree, Reed Royal, Matias Herrera, Jacob Huff, all students from SAIL. Jacob, you had something you wanted to share?
Yeah, SAIL is not necessarily like any other school in terms of, like, landscape-wise. We have a lot of murals painted, and I don't think a lot of people have really caught on to this, but each mural we have painted fits in with the area it is. Like, we have in the reading area, English department, there's a Mark Twain painting with a quote of his. In history, there's Gandhi. And science, there's some manatees painted. And I'm pretty sure Albert Einstein's around there. And we also have a mural club, which actually, towards the gym, has paintings of some teachers and even some students that most of them are former students now, but painted up too.
Okay. You all have touched on the teachers. How do they differ from your traditional teaching staff? I'll go around the table. Everybody's hand is up.
Okay.
Matias.
I think that one of and I don't mean this to say a bad thing. I was just never as close to him as some of my friends were. But one of probably the best teachers in SAIL's entire teaching history was Brother Rod and Roderick Morrison.
I think.
Roderick Moore, probably one of the best teachers that they have mm-hmm. ever had. And recently he has unfortunately passed away.
Yeah.
But during his symposium of life, there were a lot of stories, and probably one of my favorites was that he taught history, but he also taught economics. And so back in the day, back in the heyday, when you could do a lot more than you can now, he would do one of the most interactive things that he did was the stock market game. And so you would I think that there's other schools that do it around Florida too, and it's just like it's a fake stock market, and so you put your stocks in and whatnot and try to make it big. And but he one year decided to be a little experimental and had the kids buy real stocks and use real money, and I don't think it went as well as he planned, and so he couldn't do it anymore. But I mean, like, there's just like I couldn't even imagine any teacher even back then to like experiment like children experiment with real money. Like, it was just very, although it was very, again, it was very experimental at that mm-hmm. time. That's just mm-hmm. it. Sale was itself was an experiment.
He was a real innovative teacher. He's been on the program. Mm-hmm. Reed?
The teachers are people. They are authority figures, but they don't feel like authority mm-hmm. figures. They are somebody you can go talk to. I have had like experiences in former public schools where if I didn't know what I was doing, I just wouldn't go because I was scared or afraid or for whatever reason I couldn't. And I just wouldn't talk to the teachers, but you can really talk to them on a even equal level playing ground. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And they really care. I think somebody said that, but they do. And I just wanted to say right now about like my English teacher, Marlo, who is a little infamous at Sale, but he's a tough teacher, but I know he really cares about his students. Mm-hmm. And that's something I don't know if you find at many public schools.
It's true. Shanoa.
Oh, yeah.
What about the teachers?
Definitely teachers are very different than regular schools. Even going to smaller schools before, that we definitely didn't have first name basis and things like that. And I'm sorry to single her out, but Susanna, she's our yoga teacher. I mean, how many schools have a yoga course?
Uh-huh.
And she's just like, really like takes the time to get us like experienced in like all different types of yoga, like make us very like worldly and kind of see through another's eyes and perspective and things like that. And that's what I like. They open us up to other perspectives because mm-hmm. I kind of like to see the world from, say, how Matias sees the world or J-Hef sees the world or Reed sees the world. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting to me.
Any other comments you'd like to make about the teachers?
Man, I could go on for hours.
Your face is just...
I love this school.
Yeah, I can tell. I can tell.
I don't want to graduate. You're just so great here.
No, that's it. He just wants to stay there. That's what it is. What is it about Sale that makes it... And I know you've given me lots of pieces, but just makes it so unique and so successful? I mean, there hasn't been a Sale student that I have met that I didn't connect with. I mean, it's like everybody, doesn't matter who it is, it's like automatic. And so what is it about? I'm just trying. Yes, Genoa.
Well, I think the thing is that why we connect with so many people is that they really, truly prepare us for the world mm-hmm. and how there are different people where other schools don't as much maybe put you in situations where you see different people who like different things, but you can still relate to them. And at Sale, they kind of, even through the teachers, because the teachers are really diverse, they kind of prepare you to really get out there and respect others in a certain way.
Okay. Well, a unique annual spring tradition to Sale is the intensives. And thanks to Matthias, we are going to focus on them. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about, find out all I can about intensive, because I know SAIL is unique in that you're the only school that does this. Mm-hmm. Okay? So first of all, let's start out by explaining, telling us, the listening audience, what are intensives? What are they?
Intensives are usually either the second or third week in spring. So it will be either a week before or a week after spring break. Mm-hmm. Usually it lines up that way. I think this year it was
before,
2 weeks before. Mm-hmm. So we had intensives, and then we had a week, and then we had spring break. Oh, it was the other way around.
Oh, okay.
But intensives are just basically a week of interactive learning. And while SAIL does a lot of interactive learning, it's a lot more hands-on, as in okay. It's like field study, basically. If you were in a science field, and we go out into the world and we just experience the things that we would talk about in class. There's a group that goes, I don't think they did it this year, but I know that last year they had a Fossling group.
It's this year too.
They did have it this year. Mm-hmm. They had a Fossling group in South Florida, and there's another one called Life's Aquatic where the drama teacher Sierra takes children around to the sinkholes and Wakulla Springs and just our natural water sources and explains the use and function of these things throughout like our entire lives.
Now, does everybody participate? Is this a requirement?
Yes. Yes. Everybody participates.
I don't know. Some people end up not signing up for intensive. They end up on this thing called enrichment where you just do schoolwork. But this is so great. Why would you not do it?
Yeah. It's... maybe we should go around and say what all our intensives were.
Well, wait, I got a couple questions. And then, yes, I'd like to hear all about your intensive. How do you determine what the intensive topic will be? I mean, do you determine it? How is it determined?
No. Teachers determine it beforehand around the summertime.
Yeah, in the summertime, they usually go around and they just come up with their intensives on the summer. And it's kind of almost as a whim, and they just might have an idea, and then they just plan it out. They have to have an itinerary. They have to have dollar amount. And
Are they always local, or can you do something national? Do you leave the state?
I just got back from D.C. They are from national to local. You can stay right here in Tallahassee and come to school every day and participate, or you can go out of town from D.C. to Colorado.
Yeah. We aren't allowed to leave the country because after 9/11, no school's really allowed to leave the country.
Right.
But we do go. I know that one of the staff members actually went as far as New York. Mm-hmm. And then we were – one of the intensives that we were planning to do was to go as far as California. But we ended up changing it. So, you know, but it's possible, entirely possible.
Now, is there any cost involved?
Yes. Oh, yes, there's costs. They all
okay,
have.
So you all have to pay individual.
Some of them are free.
Okay,
And then some can be more expensive, like Colorado. It's in the thousands, but it's well worth it, definitely.
Yeah,
and this lasts for what'd you say? A week, 2 weeks?
A week.
It does. There is some variance. I know for our my intensive, I went to Colorado. We left the Thursday before intensive week, and then we came back the Monday of.
Mine was 6 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So, however, and because the teachers are making the itineraries and making the plans, sometimes to get better ticket flights, they will leave early or they'll leave late,
right.
You know.
That makes
so
sense.
It is realistic, yeah.
Okay. Well, I want to hear what each of you did, what your intensive was. And so who wants to start?
Just go around.
Okay, we'll go around. I
would love to start.
Me
and Shanoa actually shared the same intensive. We went to Colorado. It was $1,400. And just to add, there are intensive scholarships. So if you don't have the money, because I'm pretty sure that not everybody has $1,400 that they can do, SAIL will definitely work with you. Shout out to the family that donated the money that – was really awesome, and the name is escaping me. I'm so sorry, but I love you. Just going to say that. But my intensive was the Colorado snowboarding intensive. And so we went to Colorado, Breckenridge, a town in I'm not exactly sure where, but it's a little touristy town in Colorado.
Breckenridge.
Yeah, but I'm just not like sure where it is. Anyway, but it was a touristy town, and it was very nice and very sweet. And we would I think we spent one day acclimating because we went up 12,000 feet and from sea level because it's little old Florida. And woo, that was a time.
Was an adjustment.
Ooh, I've never seen snow before, so that was also an experience.
Oh, it
was
really? Just
a week of mind-opening experiences. And the next day we went into town. The next day we went snowshoeing in the Colorado Rockies. I really want to be a park ranger after that. It was probably the most amazing experience I ever had. And then we went snowboarding, and just over the course of the intensive, it was just
now
truly
do you
amazing.
Have well let me go to everybody and then I'll come back and ask all these questions. Reed.
My intensive was called Wellness Week, and it was an in-town intensive, and it was it is cheaper. It was not $1,400 because I don't have that. It was $100 around there, and it was about wellness. We learned about yoga, about living a healthier lifestyle, massage therapy techniques. We made candles and soaps and all sorts
now,
of things.
Now, this was every day?
Every day.
Okay.
Every day we came in, we had breakfast of fruits and tea, and we sat around and talked, and then we started with some yoga. And then we did whatever our activity was for the day, from like massage therapy to making candles.
Okay.
So I was on Breckenridge, Colorado, which was so much fun. This was my second time going because I just love it out there. I think first day, we got acclimated first day, and we played in the snow and all kinds of fun things like that. And the town is just so neat to experience because it's kind of like a Tudor-style Victorian town. Mm-hmm. The whole town does it, and it's really neat. So there's all these old homes and artwork is kind of scattered around the place. And snowshoeing in the national park was just, it was mind-blowing. I love the mountains and anything to do with water, frozen or not, it was beautiful. And then snowboarding, wow, that's an experience. You certainly fall down a lot, but it really makes you persevere and really makes you kind of like want to try harder at really achieving your goal.
Okay. Jake.
All right. This year I went to the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. We left.
And you just got back, right?
Yeah, just get back. Well, from the intensive.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was great. Okay.
I'm
lost for words. But anyway, well, we got to tour a lot of things. We went to basically whatever Smithsonian we went to. We split up into groups. It was a lot better than my 8th grade field trip to D.C., that was for sure. We got to tour NPR. We got to eat a lot of really good food. We saw this play. We stayed in this really nice house, and I want to go back.
It sounds like it was fantastic. Now, are these intensive graded or evaluated, or how do you do any of that? Is anything like this?
There's
none of that.
There's absolutely no pressure on intensives, and it is amazing. And just to add this in really quick, there's nothing more than realizing how good this is other than I was talking to my friend about intensives because she doesn't go to sale, and just talking to her about it and how much like she wants to do it so much too, and like it, you realize what good things you've got with sale, and it's just
amazing. That
sounds
like one of the really valuable components of it. I mean, because all of you are extremely excited. Now, do you have to – you don't have to do anything but participate. You don't have to write up anything or present anything or any of that. Okay. No guidelines or whatever. So, do you think intensives are something that should be incorporated in Yes, Matias.
Very sorry. I just immediately raised my hand.
No, that's all right. Go right ahead.
In my 10th grade intensive, I went to one of the staff members' houses, and it was a farming intensive. Mm. And we basically went to a couple organic farms. Went to Apple Hill, Turkey Hill, I'm not really sure. Mm-hmm. There's just a couple of the farms, organic farms around Tallahassee, and we went and we were basically, I don't want to use the term indentured slaves, but we did some work and we picked some carrots and stuff, and it was just like a really nice experience. But I think what even more than that was probably just the time experience that I had with these people. I went on an intensive that I knew no one. I didn't know any of those kids. I knew of them just because I'd seen them around sale and I talked to people. But the only reason I went was just because I loved the sponsor. And not even by the end of the field trip, the first night I was miserable because I decided to camp out outside. But and it rained. But even by the second or third day, I was talking to all these people that I'd never talked to before. And by the end of the intensive, we all kind of like had a little cuddle puddle. And it was just like these people that I never knew, that I never really knew before, I felt like I truly like I got to know them.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like intensives are sort of extended field trips, hands-on field trips. Is that an accurate? You know, we're going to take a brief break, Janoa, and I will come back to you. You tuned into 411 Teen, and this is a fantastic show. We are talking about Sale High School and the intensives, and I've got four dynamic folks. Just hold on. We're going to take a break, but we'll get right back at you. What's the 411? I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and I have Sale High School students here today, and we are exploring and applauding Sale for a job well done. Janoa, I had to, I didn't interrupt you. You had some comments you wanted to share.
Yes. Also, to touch bases on what Matias had said earlier, the intensives really open you up to a new experience. And my first intensive I went on my freshman year was animal adventures, and you get to experience anything from swimming with dolphins to feeding giraffes. And I don't think I would have ever realized that I really wanted to get into marine biology if I wouldn't have gone on that intensive.
So that really had a strong impression.
Oh, yeah. I think it was the experience I liked fish in general. Mm-hmm. But I think really, like, getting out there and being able to, like, snorkel with them and literally getting to ride a dolphin, that really kind of, like, set in stone that I was prepared to, like, I want to do this with my life.
The same thing happened to me. In 11th grade, I did the volunteering at an elementary school intensive, and since that week, I've wanted to become a teacher.
So they've had some real impressions on you.
Yes.
Been very beneficial. Well, I know, you know, that Sale has also some very unique electives. Do they still have, they had things like gardening and
class.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Tell us about some of these electives in addition that you have. Go right ahead.
Well, it's kind of an odd sport, but we have a juggling team, and I'm currently working on Diablo in that, which is it's two sticks and a string, and then it's these two cups, and you throw it down on the string, and you can throw it in the air, and it spins. Mm-hmm. And not a lot of schools would even think to have a juggling team. I think we're the only one in Florida, but we don't really necessarily do it competitively, but it's kind of like in karate where you have belts, we get mm-hmm. shirts based on colors for you finish a certain trick list for a certain prop, like, say, Diablo, then you would move into, like, the different shirts and things like that.
And it sounds like intensive are sort of an extension. Am I right? I
yes.
must be.
Yes.
Y'all
yes.
are nodding yes. your head.
Yep.
They're an extension of these very, very innovative type of electives.
Mm-hmm.
Other electives that you have been involved in that you would like to share?
As Shanoa mentioned earlier, yoga is probably one of, again, like one of my favorite classes. Susanna Denham, mm-hmm. the teacher that teaches it, she started as a sub, actually, which is, I think it's the craziest thing to me how she even got the class, because she started as a sub. And she has ties with some of the teachers there, Mike, the math yeah, teacher. Michelle. Yeah, and she went to SAIL when she was younger. So, you know, she started as a sub, and she started subbing my 10th grade year. And then the next year, she offered that just as maybe a sort of idea, because Doug, the history teacher, also taught Tai Chi, but he wasn't going to be able to teach it anymore. So she said, well, you know, you could always try yoga. And I mean, I'm a massage therapist and I do yoga part time, so I could be your teacher. And they gave her the class, and now she has that class, and she has another class. And I think that she said that she's going to be opening up to 2 yoga classes next semester. And but truly, like, to actually go on the curriculum, it's amazingly innovative. Like, she created the whole class from scratch, basically. She goes through yoga poses with us. She not so much about, you know, taboo of spirituality mm-hmm. in school, but she's very into our health, the health benefits, pure health benefits of yoga and what it can do for your life. And she even got accolades from the class evaluation. I can't remember exactly what it's called, but they basically come to the school and they evaluate the mm-hmm. teachers. And they said for creating the class all from scratch by herself, she had done amazing work, and the children felt valued when they were in there, and they felt like they were learning something, and they truly were. And, you know.
Oh, I had Susanna. She was my intensive sponsor, one of my sponsors for Wellness Week, and because it was yoga sort of based, and it was a true eye-opening experience, because I've never done any yoga up until that point, and it was, and she is all about your health. Like Matthias said, we have healthy lunches every day. If we're not eating from a local healthy restaurant, we're bringing in food and making something right there. It's all good to eat, and it's just, you learn a different way of life that is not the mainstream traditional way of life. It's something outside of your own, and it's good to experience that for a week to live mm-hmm. a healthy lifestyle and see what it's like. And it's actually possible. You can do it.
You come out knowing you can do it.
Well, I mean, I've taken nearly every major elective there is at SAIL, and from my personal experience, I do believe that yoga is the best class at SAIL.
Yeah.
Well, a neat thing about it is that Susanna has us set up personal health goals for something we want, like let's say somebody wants to be better at swimming, somebody wants to be better at wants to be more relaxed, somebody wants to like be able to sleep better at night, like. We set up personal health goals for all of that, not just in yoga, but like within like healthy eating, healthy mm-hmm. breathing or whatever. And Shanoa, to back to what you said earlier about how you believe SAIL's the only juggling program in Florida, it is actually the SAIL's juggling program is actually the only accredited juggling program in North America.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
Yes. Well, what I feel from you, what I hear is that there's sort of a focus on creativity too, though. And I mean, I know you're the School of Arts and Innovative mm-hmm. Learning, but that it sounds like there's so much creative juice that's flowing there, and you're open. Yes, ma'am.
Well, they see that the individual person is important, and that they're going to kind of make their mark in the world mm-hmm. someday. And they see that and try and bring that out of a person. So, Jacob, you're more of kind of like, you like pretty much to try anything. You're very yes. adventurous and open to anything. Mm-hmm. And me, I'm anything to do with science, but I didn't ever think that I would be that way because I was never really good at math, and now I'm like pre-calculus level. I'm about to be a freshman in college next year, my senior year. And so it really just kind of – they bring that out of you and just are like, here, you take this with a grain of salt and run with it.
Well, you – oh, yes, Reed.
Oh, I just wanted to touch on the creativity. We talked about the physical aspect of SAIL, but we touched briefly on the murals. And I just wanted to say again on that about how – well, I'm in mural club at school, and we paint the murals around – well, some of them were done by other people, but we're painting murals around school. And it's just – you can – paint on the walls, and it's not vandalism. And who can say they can do that? They paint on their school walls, right now we're painting on some teachers' doors, and we're just bringing creativity to the whole school, and everybody can look at it and appreciate it. And that's just like a different outlet of creativity that doesn't happen.
Well, another component of your innovative learning environment is community involvement, because I know that you all are so involved in the community in all different kinds of ways. So I wanted to know if we could touch on that for the listening audience, just how the community it interfaces with the school. Matthias?
I really should have been, but I'm not actually a mural club. But I do know the goings on of the school, and the mural club has, like, throughout the past 2 years that I've kind of like been pseudo involved. I've been there, but not really actually there. They've painted a few murals, and I think the most recent one was they painted
the gym. Mural?
Not the gym mural, but like off, like community wise. Didn't you guys paint the mural
down on Gaines Street?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. By the I don't know if this is good or bad, but down by the new Grassroots Brewery, like the mural right there, super super amazing, super colorful, and it has music and stuff, and it's just like,
yeah. They just amazing. Tore down. Well, the old one got tore down because they were doing renovation or whatever to the building. So it was coordinated by a student from FSU, I believe. And she just had anybody – it was in for anybody in the community to come down and paint and so to help paint. And so art classes went down and the mural club went down and we helped paint. And that's just like being involved with something more permanent. Like, well, painting at our school is permanent too, but everybody – who drives by can see that, and I can just look back and think, I helped paint that.
Mm-hmm. I did that. For you, two of you are graduating seniors. And when you think about your experiences at the school, and I know you've had many that you value, what would be your most passionate experience that you've had at SAIL?
You can go first, Jacob.
No, you can go first.
Oh, my God. Oh, God.
Cassie's going first.
I think probably the most passionate experience – I'm very passionate at school. Mm-hmm. So just basically everything I do with a lot of passion. But I think the most passionate experience that I've ever had at school is when I – it was during intensive week. It was. They open it up. Mm-hmm. But this past intensive, we went to Colorado and we went snowshoeing in the Colorado Rockies. I'm a nature person. I'm just not like a walking in nature person, if that makes any sense. But I truly – and although I was at the end of the line, For our ranger, she was an interpretive ranger, and basically her job was to help the public, or specifically children, understand about the world around them and about the way that one thing that they did, like on a whim, like, you know, just threw that bottle away, could affect the entire forest, or how in general, the natural cycle of life is being disrupted, and we had such a great, like, we had such a great lesson on the makeup of the forests in the Colorado Rockies and how extremes in weather are you know, causing the forest to die, but not necessarily the way that you think it is. Global warming isn't just setting the trees on fire. Mm-hmm. That's not what's happening. But she went into a very in-depth explanation, and I won't go too in-depth, mm-hmm. of how temperatures are rising. And so the snow is melting faster, and it's disrupting the seasonal coat changes for a lot of the animals. Yeah. And so one of the animals is the favorite
weasel. Hmm? Weasel. It was a
I can't think of it either.
It was a type of weasel.
Yeah, it was a type of snow weasel that switches from brown to white, you know, obviously, like most winter animals do. But because it was – well, the thing is that that adaption – yeah, no, that adaption formed over hundreds of thousands, possibly millions of years – well, you know, maybe millions of years of how – of that specific cycle, because the cycle's always been the same. But since the rapid change has happened – so rapidly, and the snow's melting maybe a month and a half before.
It's impacting
them. Well, the way that it's impacting them is that their coat is not changing, mm-hmm. because that took so much time. So now, instead of being brown or white little weasels in snow, or brown little weasels and you know, fallen leaves, they're white little weasels and fallen leaves and brown little weasels in snow.
Oh.
So they're just targets. Mm-hmm. And there's a type of beetle that, you know, dies out in the cold, and it only lives for about 2 weeks, but because it's getting warmer, only about a degree and a half, they lived for about 2 weeks extra, and they killed double the trees that they would have naturally.
Oh.
And so mm-hmm. the entire forest now is just one big lattice of a fire trap. And she was talking about how one of the parts of the forest hadn't set fire in about 800 years was just ablaze for a good 2 weeks. And while I'm going kind of on a tangent, it was just to me, I was so passionate in that moment. And ever since then, I've been so passionate about the environment that I really, really, really want to be a park ranger.
So it really heightened your appreciation.
Heightened my knowledge of everything. It wasn't even a day. It was 3.5 hours that we were there. 3.5 hours, and I was set on exactly what I wanted to do.
All right. Since you've given me a lot of time to think about this, I'd have to say the most passionate thing I've ever come across at Sail was at the end of my 11th grade year, a friend of mine, Hunter Bailey, told me I should run for senior class president. I mean, I did it because she told me to. And after that, like, I started actually doing it. And, well, I was going to just do my job either way. I was figuring I want to do this. But mm-hmm. when I really started to get into it, I noticed how much I actually loved it. And then, like, then I started taking on things that I never had to take on, like the senior video, and I started doing extra because I loved what I did, and I never wanted to – I just wanted to keep doing it because I wanted to hold on to this forever.
Forever. That's fantastic. In this last couple of minutes, if you had to tell someone, let's say Chinoa and Reed, they're a potential student, what would you tell them about Sail? I don't know. I think I want to go to Sail, but I'm not sure.
You want to be there. I keep focusing on the people because that's what I like to focus on. Mm-hmm. But my friend goes to Leon, and I keep telling her, well, she doesn't go there for academic reasons. She doesn't go here because of academic reasons. But I just keep telling her, you would love it there. You would love the people. You would love the environment, everything about it. You should go there. Why don't you go there? And it's just you won't have anything like it ever in your life.
Yeah. Even if you're still kind of iffy about it, I would say just try it. Come for a day and be a shadow. Kind of look into the classes you maybe want to get into. Like, we have a robotics team.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get into Jason's class, then maybe shadow one of his classes one day and see what it would be like a normal everyday class routine. And then probably by the end of the day, you'll definitely want to sign up. I know I did. I think Sail Sale was the first one on my list when I had tried out, and I didn't go to any other schools. I knew I wanted to come here right away.
Well, again, 411 Teen applauds all of you. Jacob and Matthias, we wish you lots of peace and success in all of your future endeavors. You've been regulars on the program, and I just want to extend my appreciation to you and thanks. To my listening audience, that's it for this edition of 411 Teen. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Teen. This edition of 411 Teen was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistance, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Teen or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Teen podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.